Well, let's ask God to bless our time and just accomplish what He wants. Father, we thank You that we can be here. Thank You that You love us. Thank You that we can just trust You. We know that You're working in our lives and You want to work even more. You want to continue to develop us. And so our prayer is that we'll just be receptive to what You want to do. I pray that You'll guide my thoughts and give clarity. Put all the pieces together as only You can. Just help us become more and more what You want us to be as we draw closer and closer to You through Your word. So we just ask for Your work to be done in Christ's name. Amen. I'm not sure how many of you are aware of this. I mentioned part of it in our prayer time. I think it was, what day was it? Anyway, we've been there several days in Alaska, as you probably know. And we went to pick up our grandkids. They were going to, Hannah, as you know, is our previous daughter-in-law, who we love very much, even though she's no longer the wife to our son. So we were there spending time, and we dropped the we were going to her mother's house, and that's where she was dropping off the kids, and we were going to pick them up and just spend the day with them. And so we arrived there, and Hannah had left a little ahead of time. She's a photographer and very good at what she does, and so she was off to a wedding. She was going to a wedding, and it must have been Saturday. That's when it was. The first Saturday with her. And so she was off to this wedding. Well, we were getting a kiss, and we're just about getting ready to go in the car, and Hannah's mother got a call. And so, I could tell it was just a little unsettling, but she didn't say anything at that moment. And then we were getting the kids into the vehicle, and she said to me, she said, "Don't go down that road, go the other way." And she said, "Hannah's been having a wreck." And so she didn't want to tell the kids. She didn't want to upset the kids, and she sure didn't want us driving by the accident. And so we turned the other way, and we knew Hannah was, she was alive, which was a terrible, terrible accident. She could have easily been killed. There are many reasons to be thankful in all of this. She has a broken ankle. You look at the car, and it's amazing she did survive. We're very thankful the children weren't in the vehicle. They may not have. Hannah's sister is a photographer trained by Hannah, and she wasn't in the vehicle, so nobody else was in the vehicle. So, thank the Lord. But while Hannah was telling me, this is the funny part, and you might pray for Hannah. I was saying it in our prayer time. She thought she had all the insurance she needed. Of course, in the United States, it's a lot different than here. She thought she was totally covered, and she found out her medical bills were not covered. And so she may have to, she found out today, which I haven't heard, whether she'll have to have surgery. She has two broken bones in her ankle, and whether she's not going to do surgery. So, and they don't have lots of money, so you might just pray for Hannah and her family. But anyway, the lighter side of the story, or if this is a lighter side, she's going down the road, she's going off to this, wedding, photographer there, and she's driving, and she had a sip of coffee, and so she's sipping on this coffee. Well, it goes down the wrong pipe, and so she starts, kind of gagging, right, and she's focused on, but she just let down for a second, and then this guy in front of her, he steps on his brakes. Well, he said there was a dog or something running on the road. But anyway, stopped, and so she ran right into him, spun his vehicle around, and another guy coming from the other way, which in Alaska they drive fast, driving the other way, and they just all got in this three-carson mix-up mess. And so her car is totally totaled. But anyway, I was thinking about it, as we go through life, it's awful easy to make just a silly choice at the wrong point. Looking down, not paying attention, not seeing the road, whatever. And there's so many reasons. If we had a visual, and I showed you her truck, which is a truck, basically a big pickup person lady, but I tell you what, some of the people in her family have made some terrible, terrible choices. And they're all professing Christians. So what I'm thinking is, how do we get through life without making a disaster, without having a wreck in our spiritual lives? And I know it's sometimes we can't control. Like there are things that happen in Hannah's life she couldn't control, and right? Just couldn't control. And I understand that. But we want to make the best of it, right? We want to do the best we can with the life we have. And so what I was thinking, and this fits in us, and I want to talk to Dan and think more about this, but we started talking about it the last time that we did it on a Sunday, I think we'll do some more work on this Sunday, just the whole issue of wisdom. Just wisdom in getting through this world. Just wisdom in our walk. Wisdom in the way we live. Wisdom in the choices we make. And being careful that we truly live life well. And I just like to remind you, this is a definition I gave, and I think it's pretty consistent with the way this one Old Testament word, chokmah, is used. God-given insight through His Word. Now that's absolutely critical. Through His Word. It's God-given insight through God's Word to live skillfully. That's kind of the heartbeat of wisdom, to live skillfully in this world. And as I'm looking at this world, I mean, it takes no genius, no great insight. Isn't it a mess? Think what's going on in the world. So, what I'm thinking is, and of course, we spent time with the grandkids, and I'm thinking of my children and my grandchildren. Now, obviously, I want to live well too, right? I don't want to mess up, and I know I can mess up. But I'm thinking, we need to live wisely, and we need to pass on wisdom so they can live wisely. They need wisdom in this world. Now, it only comes from God and His Word. So, I want to just talk about, there's one major word, I've already mentioned that, in the Old Testament for wisdom. And tonight I'd just like to deal with several other words that also are found primarily in the Old Testament, or these words are found in the Old Testament, and deals with different, they overlap the words, you can't say this, sometimes one word will be similar to another, just shades of difference. But as we go through it, I want you to think, and maybe you might want to even share, an illustration of where this is needed. If it comes to mind, you might think, oh, we need this kind of wisdom in this kind of situation. So I'm just going to go, and we'll go as far as we can. But let me begin. Now I'm going to start, these are Hebrew words, so we're not going to worry about writing them out, except I'll just try to give you a pronunciation. I'll give you a Strong's number in case you have an interest in holding on to it and checking it out yourself. The word is Musar, and its Strong's number is 4148, in case you're anyway. That's the way you can easily get back to it. And I'm going to define it this way, and as I've worked on these words, this is a way it could be defined. Instruction or correction. Instruction or correction. Now, let's go to Proverbs 10:17. Now, isn't it interesting in our world that correction is just not a big seller? It is not very popular. Who likes to be corrected? But this word incorporates correction. Instruction or correction. Now notice what it says here in Proverbs 10:17. We read, "He is on the path of life who heeds instruction." Who heeds instruction. He's on the path of life who heeds instruction. Now this instruction is designed, it has its instruction for correction. We all veer, right? We don't always stay on the path. We tend to kind of veer off. So there are times, this is exceedingly true with young children. They haven't got it figured out. They don't know. They may think they know, but they haven't got it all figured out. And they veer. Well, there's times for correction, right? Now, it's always out of love, but it's instruction to put them back on track, to put back on the path. So, none of us us, and I think in our moments we would all accept this, and none of us have arrived. So we still have whatever path we have left. We need to make sure that in our journey, that if there's a need for adjustment, we're willing. It's a terrible thing to be a person, whether it's a young person, or it's even worse as an old person, to refuse to be correct. It's a terrible thing. It's a destructive thing for that person. And none of us appreciate it. Now, this is the New Living Translation of the same verse. People, Proverbs 10:17, people who accept correction are on the pathway to life. But those who ignore it will lead others astray. Isn't that interesting? So not only do we go astray, but others will go astray as well. So, can you think of a time, maybe we can put this in the category of children. Think of a time with your children that you said, don't, and they refused, and they did. And remember one of those? Yeah. You have to be careful. This is all anonymous. This is all anonymous. There are times we said, don't do that, don't do that, and bam. And you could say, I told you so. Probably didn't help. But something went wrong. And they just did not listen. They were wise in their own eyes. So, instruction for correction. This is one of the words. And I think it's one of the critical things in our culture, because I do think one of the characteristics of our culture, and we've always had this tendency, but it seems to be more pronounced now. Wise in your own eyes. Wise in your own eyes. Wise in your own eyes. So we don't need to be corrected in the mindset of our culture. And it's leading to a lot of sadness. That's one of the things. Sin always brings sadness, doesn't it? Always brings sadness. Now, let's go to think of another word. This one is benah. I'm sure if we were doing it in Hebrew, it would benah. It has more right? Benah. But this word, and I'll give you Strong's 998, if you want to know how to follow back to it. This is discernment through understanding. Discernment through understanding. Now let's go to Proverbs 2:3. Proverbs 2:3. Someone would just read that. That would be helpful. Proverbs 2:3. I'm sure our version would be just a tad different than this one. Anybody want to read it?
And if you call out for insight, you will find out you can understand it.
Okay. I'm sorry, Terry. Did you finish that? Did I cut you off there?
No, that's...
Okay. Now, read that first phrase again. For insight?
And if you call out for insight.
Okay. Very good. And the one thing about... I think one thing to realize about Hebrew, sometimes you'll have a diversity of translation in the Hebrew... In Hebrew words, you'll have a little different translation. Part of the reason for that is the Hebrew language extends over such a long period of time in the Old Testament that language, just like with us, think how language has changed even in our lifetime. Words, isn't it amazing the way we use awesome? We use, oh man, that was awesome pizza, right? Well, really, it might have been a really good pizza, but biblically it wasn't really an awesome pizza. Okay? But anyway, just how words change. They change. And so you'll see that's why you have a lot of flexibility in the way words can be translated. Especially, and it's true in the New Testament, but the New Testament, the Greek in the New Testament wasn't over such a lengthy period of time, so the changes are not quite as much. But anyway, the version that I'm looking at here, which can be translated insight, this version says, if you cry for discernment, if you cry for discernment, and then, just as Terry's read, lift your voice for understanding. And the way I want to define this word is discernment through understanding. Discernment through understanding. The need for discernment It is so huge. I'm going to read. The word is used in 1 Kings 3, and a related term expresses a similar concept. This is 1 Kings 3, and then Solomon, verse 7, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child." And so Solomon, at this point in his life, realizes his need. And then, if I'm going to read in verse 9. "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge, your people to discern." And that's a related word, to discern between good and evil. Discernment. Discernment through understanding. It seems to me, and I think, again, this is a pretty obvious statement, with technology as it is, we get bombarded by a multitude of ideas, just overwhelmed with ideas. It's easy to begin to buy into ideas that are faulty, just because they're packaged really slick. I mean, you think most people are going to present an idea to us in a way that seems acceptable. Now, I thought about this when we were in a store in Wasilla, and I'm sure the same is true around here. Well, I know it's true around here. Isn't it amazing how Halloween has taken on such a huge dimension? We got a shuttle today from the airport, and this lady and another couple were being shuttled to Peterborough, and she said she was just amazed how Halloween has taken on a whole life of itself. And we were in this store, and they had all this Halloween stuff. And I mean, it's amazing how gory it has gotten, right? I mean, this is not, you know, a little cute little princess outfit or something. I mean, this store had a lot of gory stuff. But what caught my attention was how we have taken death and minimized how serious it is. You have all these monsters and werewolves. I mean, not that I've watched all these shows, I'm just looking at these costumes. And I'm thinking, we have minimize how terrible. We have glamorized death. In order to glamorize death, you have to minimize how terrible death really is. So, don't you think we need discernment to think through? I mean, you say, well, that's pretty obvious to us. But you know what? It's not very obvious to lots of people. It's not very obvious. It's become a very... And I'm not trying to make a run on Halloween. That's not my goal. But it's the ideas that are being promoted that make people think, well, death is just fine. Well, if you die without Christ, death is not fine. It's an eternal disaster, right? So, see, we need discernment. Now, that's just one illustration of what's coming at us in our culture. Just ideas, faulty ideas, wrong ideas. Now, some of them are not, they're not all bad, but a lot of them are just tainted. And but what that does, that's like a fish hook, right? If you're a fish, you think, hey, that worm looks pretty good. You know? I think I'll take a bite, try a bite, right? Not a good idea. So, but we need to make sure we don't get snookered and caught. We need discernment. In what we watch, things we let into our minds. I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about again this Halloween thing, not that I want to make it a center point here. I was thinking, we're in this story, and this little kid saw one of these fellowship and these demonstrations, and it was electrified, right? And so this monster, whatever, I'm not sure which one it was, because I know there were several in this one that would, you know, move and tree.
And this little kid just, what this little dinky kid in there should have never been in that store. What do you think that does to their mind? I think it's a little girl. I heard him screaming, you know, several aisles over. And I'm thinking this little girl, now what does that put in her, that poor little girl's mind? What's it going to be like to sleep that night? And her mom thinks this is funny. I don't know. So anyway, I guess I'll sit down on my steps. But anyway, discernment. But see, it's not just for the little girls, but it's for the parents, and it's for all of us. It brings up bombardments. Okay. Now, again, these things are very close, but I want to go to another one. Another word. This is the third word. Sakal. Now, this is 79:19 in Strong. 79:19. Now, this is, again, these kind of blur in somewhat of definition. But I think we could define it this way. Insight for careful evaluation. Listen, I'm going to go to Proverbs 21:16 on this one. Proverbs 21:16. You'll see the way it's translated. I mean, I've expanded the translation because this just has one word. But Proverbs 21:16 reads this way. And I'm reading it in the English Standard Version on this particular verse. One who wanders from the way of good sense. Now, that's our term. It translates it good sense. In the New American, it translates it understanding. The one who wanders from the way of good sense, notice this is a fairly big deal, will rest in the assembly of the dead. I mean, well, that doesn't sound very good. You know, but we need, and again, the definition I've given it, insight for careful evaluation. Careful evaluation. Let me just give another illustration, then I'll give the additional point I wanted to make. This is Proverbs 19:11, and this is our word. Insight for careful evaluation. Translated again, this is discretion in the version I'm reading. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his folly to overlook a transgression. His glory to overlook a transgression. That means he's not offended by everything that comes along, right? He controls his anger. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger. I wonder how many people are in prison today because they never learned to control their anger. I mean, I remember a story, I'm sure I've shared this, and I read this years ago. A man who, he committed kind of like a minor crime. He stole something, you know, and he got put in jail. It would have been a short sentence. But he had a terrible, terrible temper. And he kept getting in fights, and he kept extending his time in prison. He ended up living over half his life in prison because he could not control his temper. What a terrible thing. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people are very, very angry in our culture. But a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. No. I have to guard myself. Driving down the road and somebody thinks they deserve to be right in your space. I have some thoughts for you, right? You know? But a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. You know, it's a lot better to let the guy cut in front of you instead of both of you to take each other out, right? You know, I remember one time we had a young guy. He kind of lived at our house for a season, but one day, and he had kind of a hot temper. But one day he cut off, and I can see how he did this because he's kind of self-absorbed sometimes. But he cut somebody off. And that, whoever he did, they followed him, trying to cut him, run him off the road. He, could all share silly stories, and some of them a little more embarrassing, so we probably won't go there. But anyway, okay. Let me share one more, and then Russell. This one is Orma. Orma. Not the guttural. Orma. Okay. Sharp thinking. Sharp thinking. Again, it's very close. It overlaps. Notice what it, this is, in, and I believe, okay, and then there's another word that's very, very close, and it is, and I'll give the first one, 6195 in the Strong's, and the second one, they're so close I put them together, is 6175. But the idea of sharp thinking, now I'm going to read Proverbs 14:15. The naive believes everything. Now, we're going, I'm going to do a little work on this later, but the difference between a naive person, a person who's a fool, and a person who's a mocker, there's three basic categories in Proverbs. They're all fools, and we're not just trying to have bad mouth people, but it's categorized. People who, but the first one is a person who's just very naive. Very naive. And this, the naive believes everything. But the sensible man considers his steps. The sensible man. Now, this, if you read Proverbs 27:12, this, again, a little different translation, but the same word, Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive perceives. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. Just put it this way. And we just stated it, sharp thinking. But sharp thinking can protect us from major mistakes. Sharp thinking, clear thinking, biblical thinking protects us from major mistakes. Let's see here. How important it is to learn to think biblically and clearly early. Now, you know, part of growing is we take on truth, right? We take on truth. So when you're young, you just can't know everything. It's impossible. But if we're teachable, we can learn a lot more. A lot faster and make better decisions. Isn't it amazing how many choices and decisions we make on the front end of our life that affect the rest of our life? Isn't that interesting? And if we're not sharp in our thinking, we're not trying to be biblical in our thinking, we're not trying to stay close to the Lord in our thinking, we end up making choices that have consequences that go on for the rest of our life. And some of those choices will carry right, the implications will carry right into eternity. Now, if a person rejects Christ, obviously, that, you know, as we've already said, is eternal disaster. But there's also, just think of, and I thought about this somewhere recently, in several books I've read, but why would we want to live a wise life? I mean, we could give all kinds of reasons. I mean, it's an easier life. It's a more pleasant life. I mean, those are things, and they're valid. But also, a wise life is a rewarded life. And a rewarded life, those rewards, I think we downplay this in our culture, in our Christian culture. Rewards given by God, when he can say to us, well done, that good and faithful servant. Those rewards will carry into and through and throughout eternity. The benefits of those rewards, they are not like little trinkets that you might get when we were going through, especially the boys, our little grandson, you know, those little things they have, and if you put a quarter, now it's 50 cents, you put it in, maybe you can win one of those stuffed animals, right? And so, you know, they're going there, putting their quarters in, you know, trying to get a stuffed animal. Well, you know what happens to those stuffed animals, right? Even if you get one, they just get lost, or they get thrown out, they get totally forgotten. They mean nothing when it's all wrapped up. And a lot of us who live life, we're not sharp thinking. We're not thinking clearly. We're not thinking biblically. We get a bunch of stuffed animals, if we even get them. And then we lose where they are. We don't even care where they are.
Sometimes I think in weird pictures. But anyway, when we walk in past our grandkids, they have this dog, beautiful dog. But he has to stay out in the kennel sometimes. Well, I was walking past this kennel, and I'm looking at one of these little stuffed animals. Sometime, one of the boys at one of these stuffed animals, it got thrown into the kennel, and you know what it is? It's outside. It's supposed to be a little polar bear, I think, but it looks like a black bear now. It's just a little stuffed animal. It means nothing, right? It means nothing to anybody except maybe the dog likes it. I don't know. But you know what? We don't want to live life and have a bunch of stuffed animals that mean nothing. We want to have reward. So skillful thinking will result in reward. And it will go on. Lord, help us. Think clearly, think sharply, live. Think wisely and live wise. That's what we long for. And we know we need help. This world is so slick, and it is so enticing. Help us think as more and more as you think, so we can live well and be rewarded for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.